Well, thank you for coming to WMUK and navigating this tricky campus.
I know. It's a little larger than Kalamazoo College.
Yeah, I imagine you were just getting your orientation around the smaller K College campus.
Just barely. And then, yes, then I was thrown into the deep waters of WMU, but it's a lovely campus. My father's an alumnus, so it's nice to be here on campus.
Good. You'll get to know it much, much better.
Yeah.
Where did you hail from?
Where did I hail from? Let's see. Well, I grew up at Cincinnati. I did both of my, three of my degrees at Indiana University in Bloomington, and have been...
That's one of the best schools there is.
I love IU. Yeah. Another Big Ten school. And so have been working in east of Cleveland for the last 5 years or so, and then managing a summer music festival in Petoskey for the last 10 years.
Well, what is your passion?
My passion is using music for social justice. So I think music itself is of course a worthy end and should be, but I just see so much need and so much want in the world, and I figure we can use our art form in order to illuminate and help not just entertain, but hopefully help people to understand a little bit more of what need is out there, and then hopefully take action to do something about it.
So I imagine you brought some of those ideas to the Kalamazoo Bach Festival and looking at the season and working with the executive director, Corey Summers, to accomplish some of those things.
Yeah, we have a lot. We have no shortage of opportunities. We had already planned out our entire season, and then including the Bachtoberfest that you mentioned earlier on Thursday night. And then, of course, the hurricane hit Puerto Rico. And so we started looking at what we were doing and said, gosh, is there a way that we can do something on Thursday night that will not only benefit the Bach Festival, but will reach out to those in need there? We have a chorister that sings in the choir that's also on faculty at K College. And she is from Puerto Rico. And so it was an opportunity for us to connect with her and to connect with those people and do something. So we're delighted that we've worked something out, and people can hear a great band. Three great bands, drink some great beer at Bell's, bid on some silent auction items, hear a little taste of the Bach Festival Choir doing some drinking songs, and then do some good for Puerto Rico as well.
Could I hear more about your musical study and
sure.
focuses? Is it mainly choral
music? I sort of have found myself... I don't know if you can straddle three worlds or not, if you only have two legs. But so I found myself moving in and out of choral and musical theater and orchestral work my entire life. So I started out as a choral conductor at IU and then got into doing musicals and then got into doing operas. And so then by that point, then I was working with instrumentalists and so continued to develop that part of my skill set, I guess. And I've always found that if I spend too much time in any one of those worlds, that I start to get a little weary and want something else. So the Bach Festival opportunity is great because we can do works with orchestra. We can develop not just the larger choir, but some other offshoot choirs, and then continue my work at Bayview in Petoskey.
Oh, you mentioned Bayview. Yeah, I think that's where many musicians in our community had connected with you.
Yes. Well, in fact, you have several on faculty here at Western that are faculty at Bayview. Jacob Cameron, a tuba professor, Scott Thornburg, very well-known trumpet player here in Kalamazoo. Both of them are on faculty there as well. And so it was sort of a small world situation when the opportunity to interview at Kalamazoo came up.
Do you bring a family with you to Kalamazoo?
Yes. I have a wife and two young rambunctious boys of 8 and 5. And we found a home in the Winchell neighborhood, and so they can go through KPS, and they're excited about that and having a great experience. My wife teaches Music Together, which is a music for caregivers and their children, and loves doing that. And so kind of all of our worlds came neatly packaged together here in this position.
What is your primary instrument?
I was a singer. Was going to be
voice?
An opera singer.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm a tenor, and decided that spending that much time in the practice room alone, not interacting with other people, felt too isolationist. And so that's how I got into working on shows and with choirs. And the collaborative art form is really what turns me on.
What's your favorite musical that you've conducted?
Oh, I would say probably I've done Les Mis and I've done Ragtime, and I would say Ragtime still for me tops Les Mis right now, simply because of its, I mean, both are relevant pieces, right, with really important political messages, and but I think Ragtime right now feels like it still so much addresses where we are as a country and as a world in terms of trying to create equity for all people, regardless of their race. So that one is really still on my mind. But Les Mis would be a close second.
How about opera?
Opera, I would say probably anything Puccini. So, you know, the man knew how to write a melody like no one else. And I feel like his writing was fairly compact, and he was able to express incredible range of emotion through melody and through the color in the orchestra in a way that other composers may have had some gift with, certainly, but I would draw myself to Tosca or Johnny Schicchi's a nice little piece. Speaking of compact, you know.
That's the one with Mio Bambino Caro in it. Yeah,
yep.
The beautiful aria. Well, if you just tuned in, my guest is Chris Ludva, who is the new director of music at the Kalamazoo Bach Festival, and will be leading this new season that kind of kicks off on Thursday with a fundraiser at Bell's Brewery starting at 7 p.m. There are three bands featured, quite familiar to music fans in West Michigan: Who Hit John, Miss in Peace, and the Brass Rail, the brass quintet that often is heard at the Old Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that the Kalamazoo Bach Festival chorus will be in attendance.
Yes, we're hoping to launch this spring a new concept called the Beer Choir, which is basically an excuse for choral music aficionados, both amateur, professional, whatever, to get together at breweries, drink beer, and sing songs. It's kind of like a sight reading session that has been liquefied by beer. So the opportunity to do this at Bell's this week gives us a chance to sort of celebrate and or launch some of those pieces that will, when we launch the Beer Choir officially around Bach Festival in June, we will have an opportunity now to sort of preview that with some good drinking songs.
Okay. Well, tell me more about what, you know, a set of fresh eyes told you when you looked at the history of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival chorus here in Kalamazoo. It goes back a very long ways to the...
Well, it's a humbling role to be in. You know, there were really, really tremendous leaders in front of me, and I stand in very large sets of shoes that all of them inhabited, most recently Jim Turner, for many, many years. So that sense of tradition is really is key, and says to me that there's a lot of buy into this organization and a lot of historical importance here in the town. Gives it a lot of stability as an organization, but it also provides us an opportunity to say, okay, what has been, which of that is relevant for today, and what new directions can we go that will make this art form accessible to the next generation? You know, most of the, oftentimes people perceive choral music as being an old art form. You know,
a lot of the music goes back,
right?
800, 900.
A lot of music by dead white guys from Europe,
yeah.
And with all due respect to those dead white guys, their writing was phenomenal, and so I don't mean to downplay that, but there's so much more out there, and so trying to couple things of old with things of new this spring in June, when we do our Bach Festival, we're doing a concert called Feast or Famine. So we're pairing Walton's Belshazzar's Feast, which is a historical story, with what we believe is the U.S. premiere of Stankovich, Requiem for Victims of a Famine. There was a huge famine in the Ukraine that was largely covered up by the history books or not looked at for various reasons, political reasons. And so it was an opportunity to do both an existing huge work that people may or may not have heard of.
Right, or had the opportunity to.
Right. It's not done
in
that
a live
often.
Performance.
Yeah. Kind of gets overshadowed by Brahms' Requiem and Messiah and Creation and things like that.
Sure.
So that's a great opportunity. And then to pair that with something that is absolutely relevant, not just for those victims in the Ukraine that suffered from that famine, but just looking at the need and the famine in society today. So without being too heavy, we don't want the whole, you know, we don't want people to feel like when you come to a Bach Festival concert, it's going to be drudgery and doom and gloom. There will be always an air of levity in the room and a sense of, you know, what can we learn from history in order to send us forth in a perhaps a wiser way than we were?
Well, I don't see that performing profound music has to feel like homework.
Right.
At all.
Well, certainly for us in our worlds, we are the champions of that cause, that it's not homework and that it's lasting, epic, profound work that needs to be elevated and maybe sometimes done in fresh new ways that bring it to the forefront again.
Now, because you mentioned Ukraine, I have to bring up the name Andrew Kohler because,
naturally,
as we know, or as I know through my many interviews with Mr. Kohler, that his parents are from Ukraine, and I can't help but think there was a collaborative element.
Yes. Yeah. Andrew, of course, directs the Philharmonia, and we had a lot of good conversations in my interview process about what kind of collaborative works we would like to do. This, of course, was a piece I had never heard of, again, for the same reason that nobody else has ever heard of it. And having listened to it, it's beautiful and romantic and pulls at the heartstrings and will be instantly accessible to people. So it's a chance for us to share the podium, to do both performances here as well as in Chicago. There's a Ukrainian society there that will bring the Bach Festival Chorus and the Philharmonia to Chicago for a single performance there preceding our performance here.
That's kind of a first-time thing, really.
Yeah,
exciting.
I think so.
Yeah. The Kalamazoo Bach Festival website is looking just beautiful these days. It's available at kalamazoobachfestival.org. The concert on, or the fundraising concert on Thursday starts at 7 p.m. There will be a sorry, there will be not tickets, but an offering at the door for adults, different price for kids, and it all goes toward at least one or two good causes. Is it partly to help operations of the chorus? And
right. It's both. So the opportunity to come together and make sure that Bach Festival is in a sustainable place, but to do so in a way with music and an experience that feels different than the concert hall, that feels relaxed and fun. There's some great items for people to bid on. You can get some great deals on massages and food and products, maybe a little early Christmas shopping, that kind of thing. And then also, like you said, here's some great bands. And it is all ages, you know, being at Bell's. So it's nice that it doesn't have to be people that are only 21 and above.
Right. And part of it will go towards Hurricane Maria relief in Puerto Rico.
Right. Exactly.
Who is the member of the chorus that hails from Puerto Rico?
Her name is Adriana. She's on faculty at Kay. And she brought it up last week and said, you know, there's just so much need there. And I will be coming to you all at some point with some of those needs to make sure that they are met. And so we kind of pondered that a little bit and thought, well, maybe we should just address it right away.
Is the chorus looking for voices?
Always looking for voices, yeah. I think we've had, I've heard 6 or 7 new singers over the last couple of weeks and have accepted, I think, 4 or 5 of them. So always an opportunity. We do sort of rolling auditions. At the end of the year, we'll do a big, huge audition round in May before we do the big Bach Festival concerts in June. That'll be setting the stage for next year. And so that'll be a big public audition. Anybody that wants to can come in that same round. And all the people that are singing in the choir now will be part of that as well. But I'm always happy to hear any new singers, young, old, experienced, those that can sight read and those that, you know, can fumble through their sight reading but have great voices. if there's interest, we want to know about them in some way.
Mm-hmm. In your experience as a choral director and a vocal coach, there have been some news articles and things about trends toward people pushing their voices too much and kind of damaging them. Have you paid attention
yes.
to those issues and worked on your own way to coach people so that they do get a good sound but aren't hurting their voices?
Most of what we do, of course, in a group like Bach Festival is going to be based, just because you can't sing Bach without supporting your sound. It's literally physically impossible. So in that group, I feel like we're already doing and have been doing the job of educating people on how to sing well. There's a whole another generation of singers coming up that really are inspired by singers like Adele and Amy Winehouse that are fantastic singers. And I think maybe they try to over-emulate them. And so in my voice studio, what I'm trying to do is to say, look, you can still create that kind of sound. You can still stylize and colorize your voice in different ways. But you have to do so from a strong foundation, which is to say the breath, the good diaphragmatic breathing, making sure that the vocal mechanism is free of tension. There are all kinds of ways to achieve different colors with the voice that can be done in a healthy way, but it has to be done with training. And I fear for this next generation, you know, in terms of their choral singing background. And I know the music education in the schools are doing phenomenal work, but as students are pulled in different directions by different activities and by, you know, phones and apps and all that kind of stuff, sometimes they make choices to not participate in those, and they just sing along with the radio, which is great. Any singing is good singing, but we really want to try to bring up that next generation of people that love singing together. The experience of communal singing, of vibrating together in a choir, is just so unlike anything else in this world. And I think our audiences feel that. I know our singers feel that. And I think if we could continue to try to do the work of helping other people to see that, to experience that for themselves in the choral singing experience, wherever it is, whether it's, you know, here at Western or Kalamazoo College or Bach Festival or all of those things will be good things that ultimately help us to create the next generation of concert goers and the next generation of concert singers.
I'd like to get back to your passion for social justice. These conversations are opening a lot of eyes these days. They're taking us to some uncomfortable places. You are a white male. Did you have an experience or just thought deeply about how you need to move on in this society?
Right now I'm reading a great book by Jodi Picoult. I can't think of the name, but it deals with this issue of race. When I did my interview at Kalamazoo and for the college and the Bach Festival, one of the things that sprung to my mind was, I wonder if because I'm a white male, will this play into my interview process? And I've been doing some work with the Arcus Center on campus recently. And you know, I've lived a very privileged life as a white male. You know, grew up middle-class family in Cincinnati. Didn't have everything that I wanted, certainly, but did not want for opportunities. My role, I guess, in being a conductor and being in the role that I have now is, how do I use my position? How do I use the power that I have to make sure that equity is happening for other people? Not equality where everybody gets the exact same thing, but equity where if there's a need to boost something up that has been forgotten for many years in terms of somebody's involvement in this or that, or the way that we support them, the way that we help them get a leg up, that we make sure that those are the ways that we're using our position to do that. So I can't change my my gender nor my race, but I can use the position that I've been afforded in this society to make sure that others are being put first and make sure that they're getting the opportunities that they need, whether it's singing or whether it's getting basic human services or music education or, you know, I'm a huge fan of public education. So whatever I can do through Bach Festival to help KPS and the work that's already being done there to make sure that everybody is having the same kind of opportunities is just, that's where my heart lies.
I imagine that some of these ideas will be forming and being executed in seasons to come. This one is already pretty much set, but you probably have a 3 or 5 year plan, goals out there.
Yeah, we have some really exciting things already kind of we're noodling over right now. So things with the American Spiritual Ensemble and Dr. Everett McCorvey, who leads that group. He's also the director of the National Chorale, and doing a high school choral festival surrounding the idea of spirituals and the message and the history of those, of that art form. It's a distinctly American art form that we have, and I think we do them, but how do we do them and really understand as we sing them what these were really about. You know, how did they bring a sense of freedom, if not in actuality, then in someone's heart, that could allow them to withstand some of the most horrific conditions as someone's slave.
And you're seeking out works by composers of today from all backgrounds that will be reflected on programs.
Yeah, you'll see that in the Christmas concert here coming up in December. You'll see it in our Love Is concert in February. A lot of emphasis on trying to find living composers of all races and all genders, all orientations, so that we're walking the talk that we keep saying. You know, it's not enough to do and to not lift up the work of other people that are writing really great music and some outside of our Western traditions. Now, I don't want to make our constituents fearful and think, oh, if I go to the Christmas concert, that I'm not going to hear some great Christmas songs, etc. There's always, for me, a way to do both and, not either or. I think it's just about how do you set it up? How do you pair it? You know, what pairs well with Bach? What pairs well with Walton?
Mm-hmm. It's tough sometimes.
Yes.
With Bach,
yeah.
Especially.
It sets a high bar.
Yeah,
you know,
he tends to put everyone else to shame.
Right.
Well, we're nearing the end of our time here together this morning. If you tuned in just now, my guest is Chris Ludva, who is the new director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. On Thursday, there will be a fundraising event featuring Who Hit John, Miss in Peace, and Brass Rail, starting at 7 p.m., and proceeds will go to Bachfest operations, as well as the effort to relieve, for hurricane relief in Puerto Rico. And I think there's one other concert. I just want to ask you, what's mm-hmm. your opinion of the Rose Ensemble? And
oh, yes, Piffero. We wouldn't want to miss that. Yeah, Corey would be all over me over that if I get here when I get back to the office. The Rose Ensemble, one of the most wonderful professional vocal ensembles out there. They'll be joined by Piffero, which is a period music instrument group, and in November will provide a nice opportunity for those that have enjoyed our hosting groups like Chanticleer and Contus and things like that in the past.
Okay, that's November 15th in Chenery Auditorium, so that's a large hall to fill, and it is a fantastic ensemble that has been here at least once before, not too long ago, and that's in collaboration with the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, teaming up with another great organization. Bachfest Christmas is December 3rd at 4 o'clock in Stetson Chapel, sold out very early last year, and Love Is will be in February on the 14th at 7 o'clock at First Congregational Church. Chris Ludva, any last thoughts?
No, I think we just we keep on keeping on and doing the work of bringing great music and culture and hopefully education to people about the need that's out there and ways to really get the full richness out of life.
Well, let's go out with some Bach and brass music, since the Brass Rail will be appearing on Thursday night. It's been great to get to know you a little bit, Chris.
Thanks for the time.